Pacific Beer Chat records on the traditional unceded territory of the Coast Salish First Nations, including the Tsleil-Waututh, the Catesy, the Kwantlen, the Kwikwetlem, the Matsqui, the Musqueam, the Kakite, the Semiahu, the Squamish, the Tsawwassen, the Tsleil-Waututh, and the Stalo First Nations.
Welcome to Pacific Beer Chat. I'm Mike.
I'm Warren.
I'm Jordan.
And we've got a guest today.
I'm Brent.
And where are you from?
I'm from Four Winds Brewing.
All right. So we've got the brand new Pils Pack, your lager beer series. And we want to talk more about the brewery too, but that's why we've got you on today. So can you kind of tell us where this idea came from originally?
Yeah, for sure. So this is version 2 Ontario, and to kind of give you guys an idea of like how the project originated was with version 1 last year. Essentially, at the end of 2019, I was lining up some collabs with some friends of ours. It was Daggerad, House of Funk, Bernie, and I'm drawing a blank on the last one. Oh, Superflux. And it was kind of weird. I was kind of planning them loosely in my head and talking to these guys, and we're all kind of loosely planning like pilsners and lager beers, and we were going to host them all. And I was like, shit, why don't we just put it all together into a box rather than like having to create four different like lagers that were going to be released around the same time, four different labels, marketing, and just talk to like our marketing team, and they're like, oh, this is either going to be the best idea ever, or it's going to be the worst idea. And at that point, we were like really going hard on lagers and bottom fermented beers, and like trying to kind of hone our skills in that sense. And we were super passionate about it. And I think it's a good trend in brewing to get back to. And we kind of just went for it. I called up all the guys that I was talking to and asked if they'd be interested, and everyone was pretty stoked on it. So we went from there and started designing the beers. And then that was quite a success last year, being released like a couple days after the BC lockdown of COVID. We sold out in 2 weeks, which was a huge surprise for us. Most of it was sold like through our retail store and online, like a lot of liquor store sales, but a huge amount through our front door pretty much. And then this year, we wanted to try to reach out to do some virtual collabs, because we weren't really going to be allowed to do collabs anyways. So called up some friends in Ontario, and everyone seemed excited to do it again, or do it with us this year.
That's awesome. Yeah. And I'm not a big fan of pilsners and yellow lagers, but last year's pack was really, really good. Yeah, so I'm excited to try this.
Yeah. Yeah, I noticed the labeling, the packaging is very similar to last year's.
Yeah, you know, it's pretty much the same, just different color scheme and obviously different logos.
Yeah, you still have Crispy Boys Away on it, I noticed right away. I thought that was a nice touch.
Yeah.
Crispy Boys Bound. Yeah. Yeah, Bounds. Pardon me.
Yeah, it's a little tongue-in-cheek, a little goofy, but I don't know, whatever.
It's awesome.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you guys like it.
If you can't have fun, what's the point?
Yeah. Yeah.
So with the COVID restrictions and kind of necessary travel only and all that kind of thing, how did you go about actually doing this collab with breweries from Ontario?
It was mostly first it was just a phone call, just like, because we're in a little bit different situation than Ontario is in BC. Like some of those people like have not seen people for months and months, and like I think we got the lightest of, like BC's got it the easiest really. And so I wanted to be as sensitive as possible, be like, hey, do you guys want to join a project that you won't physically be a part of? You won't get any money from it. We'll be here with the communication and we'll send you some. And like, for me, I'm like, if someone asked me that from Ontario, I'd be like, yeah, 100%. But I didn't want to assume that would be the answer. So I tried to be sensitive about it. And everyone I talked to was like, yeah, let's do it. Like, we're having a shitty time out here. Let's like at least have fun with stuff.
Yeah.
Who cares? So, these guys were, everyone was pretty gung ho on it. And so essentially it started with a phone call and then some emails. trying to figure out what to brew, and then some Zoom meetings, and then I kind of just fleshed out some recipes and sent it back and forth, and once we got the green light, we started brewing.
That's really cool.
Awesome. So should we crack one of these bad boys?
Let's get into the first one then.
What is
it? Not wasting any time.
Hey man, you know, I told you I've tried them already. So what are we cracking here? First, Brent.
So, this is the Crystal Pills, and, this is the Bellwoods collab. We collab with Bellwoods. This is our third beer we brewed with these guys. And, we're really close to these guys. In my opinion, one of Canada's, if not the best brewery in Canada. And, something that they're doing really well, but they don't get a lot of hype for is lager beers. I mean, obviously they make a lot of other amazing beers, but their lager beers are excellent, and always happy to brew with them and wanted to get some insight. And I mean, that's kind of why we do collabs, is learn from each other and get some insight and how to improve on both sides of the collab. But these guys came at us with a wacky idea that I laughed at the first time, and I'm a masochist, but this beer is 100% German wheat, which... Wow. Yeah, we have zero barley in here, and we've never attempted to do 100%. Very challenging in the lauter time. There's no husk to help fill through the lauter bed, and notoriously gummy working with wheat.
Yeah,
they gave us some good mashing tips because they do 100% wheat beer regularly, and so yeah, we just did it. So it's 100% wheat. Malt base, and it's 100% solid. So this is a smash lager, which we figured out later. And yeah, this one's nice. This one, it's the wheat creates such a light body and flavor. It's very light in flavor, and it's only 4.5%. That to me, this is Saaz soda.
The can says 4.1.
Yeah. 4.1.
It has a lovely head.
Yeah, it's a really nice aroma.
Yeah, it is a nice aroma. It's very light, though.
Mm. Now, I'm guessing you used some rice hulls in that mash.
Oh, yeah. Not too much, though, surprisingly. We worked on a super high water ratio and hidden target enzyme in the mash tun. And so, yeah, the lauter was long, but it wasn't as long as we thought. It was 2.5 hours. I've had long mashes. Longer mashes than that.
Wow.
One thing interesting with this, though, and I could tell with it already, we packaged this February 26th, is that because there's no barley in there, there's no grain husk, and there's polyphenols on that grain husk, which act as a antioxidant or shelf stabilizer. And this, to me, is tastes completely aged already, which is annoying.
Well, I think it's really nice.
It's pretty light, yeah. But it's got a nice finish.
Yeah, I like the little bit of bitterness in the finish too, which is not something you get this much of usually in the styles.
No, they wanted to go pretty hard on the bitterness, which they probably wanted it even more bitter than this. But I decided to draw it back a bit, or we decided because we knew it was going to be super light body wise.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think if you'd put more hops, it might have been a little much. I mean, it's already kind of leaning towards the bitter side of things, and it would have ruined the balance, I think.
Yeah. But yeah, this one was a huge – I think this is the most because Saaz is such a low alpha hop that this is the most hops we added to our whirlpool ever. And this had the most by weight hops in it, 2% alpha acid, so – in the 10 range, so yeah, you put in a shitload of Saaz.
Nice. So,
grassiness too.
Yeah,
so much vegetable matter, leaf matter in there that you can't avoid that flavor, which is kind of nice but distracting sometimes from what Saaz really is.
I'm noticing there is a distinct haze to it as well, which I don't expect with a wheat beer, but usually a crystal Weizen would be pretty clear, right?
Yeah. We tried to get it as clear as possible, but that's as clear as we got it.
Hey, it's good for me at least.
Do you think that has something to do with the yeast that you used?
No, it's just the wheat.
Just the wheat, yeah. Just the proteins?
I guess it would be the proteins in the wheat, yeah. No, the yeast is just our house lager yeast, which is the Beinstephan lager.
Okay.
We use the same yeast on all these beers. Last year, we used a couple different yeast strains. We decided this year to stick with our house strain because we know how to use it well.
Makes sense.
It makes things a little easier, too, in the brew house, right?
Yeah, and it's just, for us, it's like the best outcome, like the best flavor, what we want our lagers to taste like, regardless of like the style, reliable. Yeah. Especially when you're like brewing a new beer and you're trying a new yeast, you don't always hit the mark when it's a new strain. So that's important for us.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, since we haven't had you on before, I guess, can we talk a little bit about the brewery itself then? For people that don't know, when did you guys open?
So we opened June 1st, 2013, which is, we're coming up on 8 years, which is pretty crazy. 8 years is not a short amount of time to work at a place, let alone part it and run it. And 8 years in a life is a huge amount of time. I'm just talking to David today about this, and it's a huge amount of time. And the fact that we're still doing it is pretty awesome. I was actually brewing a collaboration with Dave today, so that's what we were talking about. And it's crazy. This industry is pretty volatile and challenging at the best of times. And this 8 years has changed my perspective of beer so much, and I like gained so much more respect for the business side. Before it was all about the beer.
Yeah.
So much more about how to run a business that came later, which helps, obviously.
Yeah.
So back to when we opened, it was four of us, myself, my two brothers, Sean and Adam, and my dad, Greg. And I had experience working at another brewery in Vancouver, R&B Brewing, for about 3 years before we opened Four Winds. But Adam and Sean had just experience drinking beer, no experience in beer. Sean was doing kind of odd jobs and studying music, and Adam was finishing. And my dad was semi-retired, but my dad was homebrewing steadily and like was desperate to open a brewery. All along, when I worked at R&B for 3 years, maybe once a month, he'd be like, "You ready to open a brewery yet? You ready?" No, not ready. And I still wasn't ready when we opened our brewery, but I couldn't say no. He was ready to go. So yeah, it was pretty wild. The four of us starting that and trying to get things together with very, very little experience. And like we didn't have a huge budget. We pretty much did everything ourselves, like construction wise. The only tradesmen we hired were electricians and steam fitters. So I did a lot of the plumbing, like cut the concrete, laid floor drains, did all the glycol plumbing. It was wild. It was a cool time because we had nothing else to do. And like I look back at that, I'm like, man, all we had to do was like build a brewery. We didn't have to run it, and it was a different responsibility then. Now it's a huge shoulder weight.
Yeah. But,
it was a lot of fun, man. Like me and my two brothers and my dad, like spending 10 hours a day, like 6 days a week, just building a brewery. Like it was weird. It was awesome. Like
sounds like good times.
So much fun. And we were home brewing, or we were like brewing pilot batches at the same time. So there was lots of beer flowing, and it was a great time.
And you guys awesome. Definitely started smaller, but you've been steadily expanding back and front. How small were when you started?
Well, like volume wise or space wise or
a bit of both. Yeah. So, what you remember?
Yeah. So we started with like our brew house is the same that we started with. And I give a lot of credit to Specific Mechanical. They kind of talked us into a bigger system. We were looking at like a 10, 15 hectoliter system. And they're like, "Oh, you should just get a 25 hectoliter system. You're going to need one eventually." And I'm like, at the time I came from R&B and they had a 20 hex system. And sometimes like it would take like a couple months to sell a 20 hex batch. So I was worried that we'd have beer sitting around for 3 or 4 months. And I was like, I don't want to have that. I want to have fresh beer. So, but they convinced us otherwise just because it was only like 20% more to 20% more value or money down to get 50% more beer. So we agreed to it. And so we started with four 50 hex fermenters and one 50 hex bright tank. At that time we only brewed two batches into the fermenter, but only one a day. So for the first like 8 days when we got our license, brewed 8 days straight and then didn't brew for like a month. It was bizarre.
Yeah.
And I was the only one working in the brewery at that time. So it was nice. Yeah. I had lots of time to monitor the brew and do kegs and all that stuff. But yeah, so it was very, very small at that point. We slowly added tanks. Over the first year, we added, I think, 3 or 4 50-hex tanks and another bright tank. And then I can't remember exactly when, but over the next 6 years, we added like 1,500 hectoliter tanks. So,
wow.
That's some major growth.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah, so I mean, it's been pretty steady. We haven't bought tanks in a couple of years. We've actually been able to just focus on our efficiencies and get more beer out of our space without adding fermentation space, which has been really rewarding and good, and makes us feel like we don't need to build another massive brewery. We can just improve our current practices, which is very rewarding.
Yeah,
are you doing the 3 shifts a day thing yet?
No, we're not, and I don't expect we will. We're actually working on. So currently, we have just like a new system where we have a 5 a.m. brewer start, and a noon or 1 o'clock second brewer, okay. And then cellar person in the morning, cellar person in the evening, and then a packaging team, and then myself and Kylo, who's the head brewer, kind of just floating around, making sure everything's getting done. And Ashley, who's our quality manager in the lab. So it's a pretty tight team, busting our ass all day long. But we like it that way. Yeah, it's good. We're trying to find ways to keep the team the same size, but like make more beer without getting crazy. So we're going to do like we do 100-hex batches now, and usually we only brew 75-hex in a day. So the 25-hex is coming in the next day, but we're trying to find ways to like brew those 3 batches, but get 100-hex out of 3 batches rather than 75. So we can move on the next day.
Just maximizing volume in the mash tun and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So
interesting. So do you do the, like a high volume or a high gravity mash and then add water then?
No, fortunately we wouldn't have to do that. And I'm not a big fan of that style. So, what we're doing is we just are our mash kit. So we started with a 2-vessel system. So it was a mash mixer, kettle, whirlpool, and a lauter tun. So we mash it into the kettle, send the mash to the lauter tun, lauter back into the kettle, boil, whirlpool in the same vessel, which made it very difficult to brew twice in a day. And then we added another vessel, which was a stacked vessel. So up top was a 35 hectoliter kettle and whirlpool. So we can brew multiple beers in succession easier. But we oversized the kettle, which is paying in dividends now. So we can brew 35 hex in that kettle. Our lauter tun's too small, but we can make it work. So we can brew, we typically want 25, 26 hex coming out of our brew house, but if we maximize the kettle, we can get 35, which helps a lot.
Damn.
Cool.
Yeah.
How much wood do you have in there now? Like barrels, and you've got at least one fooder, don't you?
We just added 24 new tequila barrels about a month ago.
Damn.
And that just added them into our system, and that brought us to 209, I think. Barrels.
Wow.
And we have 8 40 hex fooders.
Wow.
Yeah, we got a decently large wood program. It's definitely something that we'd like to focus more on. Like, we'd like to spend more time on that. We're just getting, trying to, like, I don't know, 2020 kind of fucked with us. Like,
everyone.
Yeah. When the shutdown happened, we shut down. We were brewing 5 days a week. And we're like, yeah, let's brew twice a week. Who knows what's going to happen? I don't want to get stuck with, like, mountains of draft beer that we got to, whatever, figure out what to do with.
Right, because when the pubs and the restaurants closed down for 3 months, that was kind of hurting the keg sales situation, right?
People were sending kegs back and stuff.
Oh, that was a big thing. Yeah, we were getting tons of returns. So I wanted to honor them too. Like, we knew these accounts were in worse shape than we were. Their operations were shut down. So we did our best to refund the consumers the best we could, or restaurants and anyways, yeah, I was worried that we'd just get stacks of kegs. So we shut down our production by over 50%. So when it actually, like, pretty quickly turned to, like, everyone still wanted to drink, but just buy packaged product, we were, like, running out instantly. So we were trying to catch up all summer and never quite did. We're working on that now, so that doesn't happen this year, because I think this happened. But there is a little bit of draft sales now. We're still way, way, way down compared to what we used to do, but all right. But my point being is that last year we kind of neglected our wood program only because we were just struggling to keep up with the other stuff. And I mean, nothing's lost at all, but it's not as much time focused on it.
It happens.
You guys just released something out of your barrel program, didn't you, in a 4-pack? I was just looking at it the other day, but I picked up the Pilsner pack instead.
Yeah, it could have been. I don't know if we just released it, but it would have been either Norwood or Operous.
Operous, yeah. I think that was it.
Yeah, so we started doing that. We've been making that beer. That was actually the first beer we brewed at Four Winds was our Saison. Half of it went into barrels and became Saison Brett, which we later named Operous. But that was their first batch of beer. Now, it's the exact same recipe, or it's slightly different recipe, but pretty much the same beer. Brett aged wine barrel, aged Saison. So now we're doing it in the 4-pack bottles to make it a little more approachable. We've been doing it in the 750 cork and cage for 8 years. And those high-end beer sales, we've seen trends like drifting on that. And I mean, it's less exciting. It's more of like the people I talk to who buy it, they love buying it, but they're like, yeah, I keep it for a special occasion. And I'm like, oh, it's great, but this is like an everyday beer. Like, the word operous is like job done at the end of the day. And so we want it to be like a blue collar, finish the day and drink this beer right out of the bottle and cheers your buddies and not have to wait for a special occasion. So that's why we started doing those beers in that packaging format.
Makes sense,
I like that. I like that just because I'm not a big into bombers anymore. It's nice to have, like you said, jobs done. I want a beer, small cans, small bottle. You don't like to finish something in that big when you don't want that big. It just makes sense to go a bit smaller.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, at the beginning of this episode, I was thinking to myself, I'm glad these are 12 ounces. We've done a few episodes on Zoom here where we're doing the tall cans and when you're doing 4 tall cans to yourself over an hour here, they catch up with you pretty quick.
Yeah, my wife actually thanks you for having smaller cans. She's like, hey, don't drink them all. I'm like, we're good tonight, babe. We're good.
Why don't we get into the next beer here then before we keep going?
Yeah, and the next one's only 3.5%, so it's pretty much water.
Perfect. Now, these are the kind of beers I like in the summertime when it's just smoking hot and you can, like, just knock them back like crazy.
When you're doing chores out in the sun, yeah.
Yeah. So which one's this? The
pink.
The pink can?
Yeah.
So, yeah, so this is the lager beer. How do you pronounce this?
Yeah, I was just going to say, how do you say this?
Orizan?
Orizan. I think it's Orizan. I don't know exactly. It's the Latin word for the rice rhizome.
Mm.
Oh,
looks like a Japanese word. So
yeah,
kind of does. Yeah.
So this one's really cool. I don't know if you guys have tried much burdock.
See, it's got like a bitterness to it, like a drying kind of thing, right?
Like burdock?
Yeah.
No.
Burdock.
That's it's a brewery.
It's a brewery.
Right?
Oh, Burdock Brewing. I thought you meant Burdock.
I haven't, no.
No, this is honestly my first thing. I've had some stuff from Bellwoods before, but this is my first from Burdock. So,
Burdock is another one of those Ontario brewers who's just doing such cool things. They do a huge amount of like hybridized wine beers or grape, but they also love crispy beers. So they focus a lot on like super flavorful farmhouse IPAs and wine sour hybrids, but then they make super simple crushable lagers, and their stuff is so good. If you're ever in Toronto, you need to go there. Anyway, so these guys love brewing with different adjuncts, and we've done one rice beer before, and it was with Brassneck Honeymoon Baby. It was a collaboration a couple years back. And this one, Matt at Burdock was like adamant about making sure we weren't just using like brewer's rice flakes, which we used before. And I was like, why? He's like, we've done it before with like sake rice or brewer's rice flakes. And it's just like so much better with the good quality of rice. And I was like, all right. So I couldn't sake rice. And like, I did more research on it. And like sake rice is like, doesn't leave Japan. It stays there pretty much, but you can make sake with any kind of rice. But so we ended up, I contacted like a rice wholesaler, and this guy, super nice guy, gave me the lowdown, and we just pretty much bought the highest quality like short grain rice we can get. And it was like super fancy looking rice. And crazy enough, I was like, oh yeah, it's definitely from Japan. And then I look at it, it's California.
Was it polished like a sake rice?
Yeah, that's hilarious. I don't know if it's fully polished, but I don't know. It was like a high-end sushi rice, essentially.
Okay.
Out of California.
But yeah, and I found out like from one of my coworkers, he's like, yeah, Japan does not export rice.
Huh, really?
That's wild. Oh, they eat a lot of it. It makes sense. They're probably imported.
Yeah.
The color on this is crazy light.
Yeah. Dude, everything about this, like, I'm not mad at this beer at all. 3.5% is normally something I'll fuck with, but I can see myself drinking this in the sunshine. Like,
well, it's got a nice aroma. You can smell that nice grassy kind of herbal hop thing.
Yeah, so this one's, I don't know if we got it written on there, but it's Saaz Tettnanger and Calypso. So I never brewed with before, but it's like a modern German hop, I think, that's got some tropical qualities. It's actually, some of the descriptors are like white wine or gooseberry. I think I get a bit of that on there.
Yeah, I can see that.
It's there's definitely
fruity nose for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm loving the flavor. It's got like this nice floral fruity kind of thing going on. Yeah. And for a light beer at 3.5%, it's got some great flavor.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not mad at it.
And there's just a slight bit of bitterness in the end, just a very slight, but
it's nice. A beautiful bitterness at the end. Yeah. I actually noticed that too, Mike.
Yeah, it's kind of rounded. It's not super sharp. It's not all high notes.
Bad thing about this though is it's super crushable, and I've already drank about half my cans.
That's what I was going to say. I think it's like the most drinkable beer I've ever had.
Mm, yeah. Yeah. This would go good with so many different kinds of food too.
Yeah, very much.
Ooh, charcuterie board.
Right? Cheese and things like that, where it could cut through the greasiness.
Meat, little olives. Fuck yeah.
A bit of draft of these beers mostly went into cans, but this one's on draft of the brewery right now. And we on Fridays, we'll pour some steins, half-liter steins, and like three sips, and it's gone.
Sure, after you've been working all day, this will go down way too easy.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Well,
what day was that you guys crushed the beers, just in case we're in the neighborhood?
Any day, yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, this is for a 3.5, you could probably put this in front of most people, and they wouldn't guess it was that low. They'd probably guess it's more like 4.5, 5-ish.
Yeah, I know. It like has such a nice residual body to it, and yeah, it's really really nice. We're looking to brew a similar beer for the summertime, just like a single release, but just like another rice lager, because this one turned out so well.
So did you cook the rice first?
No, we just mashed it in. Yeah, we did. Kind of. Yeah. So we ground the rice in our mill, just like we would with barley.
Okay.
And then it turned into like a powder kind of. And yeah, we cooked it and then mashed in on top of it.
Yeah. Okay.
For like 10 minutes. And just checked it, like scooped it up, and yeah, it was cooked rice, so we just mashed it in. And yeah, this was like, and once it gets mixed in the mash and converts with the mash, like it almost like dissolves. Like the rice is like gone. When we clean the mash out, it's just barley. It's all gone. Just integrated into the beer. which maybe gives it that like the body in there, which is kind of cool.
What percentage of the mash would you attribute to rice?
I believe it was 25%.
Okay, quite a bit.
Yeah, it's 100 pounds per mash. Yeah, four big. I don't know, it's 200 pounds per. Four big 50 pound sacks of rice per mash. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's the first time we've done that.
First time you've used rice?
First time we used like whole grain rice. Yeah, we used
that. Yeah, you used the flaked before.
Yeah, which were so easy. You just mash it in like wheat flakes.
Right.
Yeah, this was another step, but it was easy though. It wasn't like a challenge. And like fortunately we got our like mash tun is steam jacketed, so we can use it as like a cereal cooker in that sense, which a lot of breweries wouldn't have that, which I mean not a lot, but some.
Yeah. I guess, can we talk cool. about your tasting room? Because it's got to be one of the ones that's had the most change since you've opened of any brewery.
It's expanded a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, second to Parallel 49, I would say.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Although their space isn't much bigger than it was. It's just far different. Yours is expanded in size as well.
Yeah. That's a good point. We've expanded it twice. So yeah, originally, I don't know if you guys ever came to the original.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Lots.
But we had,
it was tiny originally.
Tiny. We had, I think, trying to envision, we had, I think 10 or 12 seats.
That sounds about right.
It wasn't quite as small as the Dagger Ad original tasting room. But
no, nothing is.
That was elbow room only. You could get about four seats in there maybe.
Yeah.
But yeah, originally. Yeah. So yeah, tiny. But I mean, it's easy to visualize if you've been there. And if you go there now, it's just we mirrored the original taste room exactly and just pulled the wall from down in between us. So a horseshoe bar now as opposed to an L-shaped bar, and with a growler filler in the middle. And then just had added more seats around the bar and have some seats on the windows. But we did that at our first anniversary. So June 2014, we expanded the taste room, doubled the size, and then just at the end of 2019, so it's been a year and a bit now, we took out another wall and put in some like actual table seating, which I always prefer. I like sitting at a bar and talking to the bartenders. Yeah. But I really do like sitting at like a table height and drinking beers. I'm not a huge fan of like a bar top table. I don't know why. Maybe it's just a comfort thing, but I feel more comfortable sitting in a chair than on a stool. so we added that, which is awesome. I think we doubled the capacity there. So I think we have like a 50 capacity. I could be wrong. It's not my expertise in the business, but no. 50 capacity in there. Obviously with COVID, it's cut to 25. But then due to COVID, we were able to start an outdoor patio, which is licensed as a picnic license. Uh-huh. You can take packaged product and take it out there. And so we did a tent over the winter. The tent is still there right now with some heaters in there. It's finally starting to get warm. The heaters didn't do much over the winter. really starting to get warm in there now, and it's really nice. And I think probably April, early April or mid April, we'll take that tent off and we'll get umbrellas out and have a proper patio, which we're very excited about.
Yeah, I just had lunch out there the other day. It was really good.
Nice.
Yeah, I think Mike has used that patio quite a bit.
I've
been there at least once.
I think it's a great, like, you guys don't live out in Delta, but or, I mean, I don't think any of you do. There's not a lot of like places to go for lunch that would be like interesting.
No, not in that area.
Not neighborhood. No.
Even like Latner or Tawasin, like not much. Like you got like some chain restaurants and that's about it. So it's a cool spot. I think like it's hard to have like an objective perspective because I'm there every day, but I think I'd be there a lot if I wasn't working there.
Yeah, I mean, the food's great. The tacos especially are always really, really good.
Well, we get photos of Mike's food every time he goes there.
Do you ever order the burger?
I actually don't think I've had anything but the tacos just because I like them so much. I really need to.
You got to get the burger. And that goes for you guys. If you like burgers, guaranteed top 5 burger you've ever had.
Okay. Okay. Challenge accepted.
Yes, you sold me at burger.
Pro tip for the listeners out there, when you're at Four Winds next time, try the burger.
Yeah.
Let us know what you think.
Tacos are going to be in your top 5 too, like regardless of how intense you are about tacos, regardless. It might not be as traditional, but they're fucking unreal. You guys can probably all attest to that.
Yeah. I mean, tacos and beer is a no-brainer, and the tacos there are I love the specials because they're always something really interesting and absolutely delicious. You're right. They're not necessarily traditional, but damn, they're always good.
Yeah.
But the burger is something that they've been working on in the kitchen for a while, and I like sometimes order it 5 days a week, and I'm like, oh, this is I've ever had, and then the next day I'm like, it's even better today.
That must be a good burger.
So anyone watching or listening, like, try the burger, you will not be disappointed. If it's not in your top 5, I'll personally pay for it.
Oh wow, money back guarantee. I like that.
Valid only today, don't worry, podcast comes out later.
That's dangerous. I would just say it just, it's number 6. No.
While we're talking about that, clearly people are going to be listening to this a week down the road here. Where can people find this pills pack if they're looking to pick it up and try it?
Yeah. So, I mean, the best place is coming to the brewery. It's going to be the freshest. It's going to be kept cold and it's going to be at the best price. But if you don't live in Delta, then find it at your local liquor store. I couldn't say exactly where, but I would say majority of cold beer and wine stores that sell good beer will be carrying it.
It's actually linked up to your Instagram too. If you go on your Instagram page, you can hit the link there and it'll bring you right to all the locations on your website. It's all posted.
Perfect.
I was picking your Instagram social media person's brain about it. Where can I get mine closest to where I'm at in Pitt Meadows, Maple Ridge area? And they sent me a couple places. And then I went to my main liquor store downtown. And buddy's like, oh, I got the new Pilsner pack. I'm like, you just saved me a trip. Now I can just get on the train and go home with it. I think I drank 4 of them that night, too.
Yeah, I didn't have trouble finding it either. I went to the closest Jack's to my place, which I frequent quite often because they have a really good selection. And, they had it there. It was easily accessible.
Yeah, so this wasn't a small release. So we did 450-heck batches. We had 200 hectoliters of beer. So it's not going to disappear overnight. But,
you learned from your last experience.
Well, it was the same amount we did last year.
Oh, really?
It was just crazy, like, conditions last year where it disappeared.
Yeah.
This year it's going really fast as well, but just not the same, which we didn't expect. But, one thing about that, the social media, and it was Justin that was probably pointing in that direction. And we talked a little bit about this before we started recording. Is like we're going to focus on upgrading our e-commerce thing. So like, yeah, you can just click on our Instagram ad and get that beer delivered to you, hopefully within 2 days. Next day delivery would be amazing, but I don't know if we'll be able to pull it off. But that might be the convenient and easiest way for people to get our beer moving forward.
That'd be fantastic. To make it as simple as possible, click, click, and boom, it's coming, right?
Yeah.
Thank you to our sponsor, Ross Vanderhoek, with Royal LePage Wollstonecraft Real Estate. Check out www.rossvanderhoek.com for all your residential, commercial, new development, and investment property needs.
Yeah, it'll be interesting once we get that rolling. But
I like that. That's why you guys put Crispy Boys Abound on the thing. So you can order them online and they're abound.
Bingo.
Yeah, it's always something new you got to create or whatever to just keep going, right? Got to be another marketing push or another, you know, sales avenue, because there's always other breweries, there's other things to spend your money on, right?
There's so many breweries now, it's ridiculous. So to try and stick out from the pack, you got to be doing something interesting and unusual.
Well, yeah. That's why this is so cool that you guys got basically coming from the like internet side of it. And like, we don't get to see some of these breweries you're working with right now. But right. To work with them and have them down here is actually a really cool thing to do, because I know I've had Bellwoods before, but some of these other breweries I've never tried. And to try a collab with somebody you already love is pretty awesome.
Nice. Well, that was kind of our idea. Like, we got a pretty good relationship with all these guys. We go to Toronto like once or twice a year for festivals and just different things. And we really like hanging out with these guys. And it's nice. It's refreshing. Like, obviously, we love our BC community. But, like, going to another province and seeing what they're doing, it's so different there. Like, those guys... We got it pretty easy in BC to sell beer in Ontario. Like, you only sell beer at your front door, and that's it. You're lucky if you got an LCBO listing, and maybe not lucky because you might have to only brew that one listing. So it's different. They don't have freaking specialty cold beer. So,
or you could buy into the beer store or whatever.
I don't know any breweries doing that in Ontario. That, I mean, I think Muskoka does that, but they're pretty big, but like their beers are pretty good, but yeah, no like small scale, like progressive artisan breweries are doing that as far as I know.
No, Muskoka's very like basically that kind of brew style. They're not going out of their way to try things. Everything I've tried from them, and I've actually had a lot from them, is much more basic. When you're going to Bellwoods, it's, you get some really cool beers. They got a really cool sour program. Like, I've had a bunch of a sour head, so I've tried a bunch of whenever I see it downtown. But are we cracking the next one?
We definitely can. Let's do it. Yeah.
Is Four Winds available in Ontario?
Occasionally. We send a little bit of beer through an importer, Keep Six, and like I said, if you don't got a LCBO listing, it's so hard to sell beer there. So we've done a little bit of like packaged product that would go directly to restaurants. I think that's pretty much it. And then some draft beer that, like, there's a lot of good beer bars there that would buy draft beer. So some, but we haven't done it in a while. And actually this, I don't know the details in the conversation right now, but we're trying to send to Ontario so that the guys can get it and they can actually sell it at their breweries as well.
That's cool.
But it's so expensive to export beer there that, like, I think we'd have to sell the 8-pack for like $35, which double, I think. That, what did you guys get it for here?
I didn't look at the price.
I just ordered it.
Yeah, I didn't look either. I think I had a couple other 4-packs mixed in with it. It wasn't too expensive. I think like I think it was like 26 or 30, so been between there, maybe. I can't remember. Okay, maybe I don't fucking remember.
I don't remember at all. But I'll be honest with you, if it was about the price, I would have bought some Wildcat, right?
No black ice for you?
Whatever. It's all the same swill. Yeah, exactly. It's undrinkable, so why buy any of it?
So, Brent, what are we about to crack right now?
Are you guys familiar with Godspeed?
No.
Yes. I've had some.
No.
So do you guys know of Duda Ciel?
Yep.
And Mesh Mortal, mm-hmm. and experience from Duda Ciel. Luke, also known as Bim, was one of the, not the original brewer there, but the guy kind of their creative force and created a lot of their unique and now like world class beers in the 90s and 2000s. And he sounds like he's an old dude, but he's somehow not. he left Duda Ciel and went to Japan for, I think, 5 years, maybe longer, and opened a couple breweries in Japan. And came back, and he's from Quebec. Came back and opened this brewery in Montreal. And it's quite, might be my favorite brewery to go to in the world, because it's like a Japanese izakaya restaurant with like a lager brewery attached to it.
Huh.
Oh, no. So he's so passionate about Czech beers that like he travels to the Czech Republic with the like Canadian Czech consulate.
And, like, oh, geez.
So deep into the game that like I had to call him and ask him if he'd be okay if we use the word pills, because he's so protective.
Oh, right. Yeah. It's really, Pilsen comes from a certain region, right?
He would never use the word pills or Pilsner in his beers. Every beer he does that's Czech inspired is Czech style.
Right.
All that, or Czech pale lager. So this beer,
Vice
is like the most, I mean, maybe the most interesting in this. So a Czech special is a beer style that I've never actually tried, or I think I've tried, but I didn't know I tried it at the time. And I don't think you find it outside of the Czech Republic, but essentially it's a Czech pils, but with just a little more like alcohol. So they don't adjust the hops. They just add more grain and they get alcohol out of it.
So you got a 5.7% here.
Yeah. And so,
big boy.
This one I admittedly like made a recipe calculation error on, and there's Cara Bohemian malt in here, which essentially is like a super nice, that's what makes it like kind of orange, super nice aromatic like malt. And so I added too much of this and didn't ruin the beer, but it's not exactly what we're looking for. It actually gave it a little more character probably, but this essentially is now what I would say is like a Czech bock.
Yeah.
It's got a really deep amber, maybe light orange kind of color to it. And even the head's just a little off-white. It's a little tan color.
Yeah.
And I'm picking up a little bit of that, you know, dried fruit kind of thing in the aroma, like raisins or something.
Yeah. Yeah. And this one's like the most contemplative of the pack, I would say. The rest are like very just like drink. Good, that's good. This one, like, what's going on here?
Yeah, it's got a really nice flavor. A little bit of roast in there.
Little roast, yeah.
I got roast right away, but now I'm tasting, I'm getting more flavors, like you said, like a little dry fruit, even in the taste.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is a moving and experience every sip I have so far. Yeah.
Out of the four in the box, I thought this is the one that Mike might like the most.
Yeah, I'm liking it a lot so far.
It's pretty nice. Malty.
Why did you think that, Warren?
Well, Mike's right into the heavier styles, like closer to 10% to begin with. But he likes really malt forward things, like barley wines and things like that too.
Double IPAs, IPAs, yeah.
So just flavor wise, I thought out of these, this would be a little more appealing to him because it is more malt forward and it had a little bit of that roasty kind of character.
Definitely, it's definitely like a malty lager, like very malty.
Oh, yeah. But it's not sweet or anything like that, right? So it's still crispy.
Yeah.
Definitely the most body, I think, though, of the three so far.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. And this, actually, interesting enough, so I was talking about our yeast strain, and it's known as like 3470, the German lager yeast strain. And so we buy... White Labs, I want to say 800. I can't remember what it's called now. But that's how we get it. We grow it from there. But we didn't have enough yeast for this. And so first time we ever done this, but we just added, and it's Luke at Godspeed. This is what he uses. He uses just bricks of dried 3470 yeast. And we just tried that for this one. So it's a little bit different yeast character. But it's amazing. Like we're so protective of our yeast and we take so much care of it. And like, I give a lot of credit to Kylo and Ashley for managing the yeast side and the cellar side. But like just taking like a pretty much shelf stable product and just adding it to a fermenter and it makes this, we're like, oh, what the hell are we spending all this time doing?
Dry yeast can be amazing at times. I've made beers using dry yeast that won BC Beer Awards. So, I mean, at the end of the day, it's more to do with how you're combining the ingredients and devising the recipe than, you know, you're not necessarily going to get a better beer by using a liquid yeast over a dry yeast. It's how you're using it, right?
Yeah, it would be interesting to do a side-by-side to see if there would be a difference. Like
sometimes I think the dry yeasts give you a little bit of a cleaner finish, right?
Maybe, yeah. But in the end, this using this dry yeast is very expensive because it's not cheap. And we've never bought, like we used to buy pitchable yeast strains back when we were...
Ka-ching. You know,
and now we buy like smack packs and grow them up. So
prop them up, yeah. And you don't want to be propping a dry yeast.
No, I mean, I don't think so.
No, the problem with dry yeast is it's not a single strain usually, right? You're getting all kinds of things in there, which is why I think it gives you a cleaner finish sometimes because it's a little more complete. But yeah, to propagate it, you're going to also be propagating the things that are in there that you don't want.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, this one's cool. I think it's like the most, like I said before, like contemplative or meditative, where it's like you gotta slow the conversation down a little bit, take a few more sips.
It's definitely a little more complex than, like, say, the one with the rice in it.
Yeah, it's got a lot more going on. Yeah. Can I ask you a question? I've been... kind of been on the back of my mind is switching it away from beer and back to the brewery side point. But yeah. Where did you guys come up with the name Four Winds from?
Good question.
Yeah, that's a good question. And it's nothing we really like talk about too much. But for me, like I said before, I was working at R&B Brewing and my dad was always pushing me to open a brewery. And I don't know, you guys, Warren, you can agree with me on this. The first time you homebrewed, you're probably like, I'm going to open a brewery one day. And that crossed my mind. And I always was like, okay, I'm going to do it one day. But I didn't have any confidence at the time. But in the back of my head, collected names I would use to open a brewery and call a brewery that. So a few in the back of my head. So Crown Mountain was one of them, which I think there's a brewery called Crown Mountain now. And Crown Mountain's like the highest peak in Vancouver. You can hike up there. And then another one, totally unrelated to the brewery, was Dogwood Brewing.
Okay.
That's Claire's.
Yeah. Was.
Right, right.
The reason that was on the docket was because we grew up on Dogwood Lane. And
oh, yeah.
Like our childhood home. But we didn't go with Dogwood. I pushed for it, but then in the end, I was like, no, it sounds just like our like idol brewery, Driftwood. So we decided not to. And Four Winds was always on the back burner because it sounded cool, and we found meaning to it. Like we always wanted to make like. We didn't want to be like pigeonholed at doing IPAs or just lagers. We wanted to make different beers inspired by the different brewing regions around the world. So the term Four Winds is from, like an old word, I think originally from the Bible, where it's like used to describe like someone or something that's like scattered or heading in multiple directions. And so we use that as like inspiration that the four winds are blowing inspiration towards us to enable us to brew beers from the different brewing regions in the world.
Damn, that's deep.
Yeah, I like that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, coming up with a name is surprisingly difficult. We've talked to a few different breweries who've talked about the struggles with that and the inner discussions about it. And I've been through it myself. I mean, if you get more than one person involved in the project, then you're going to have more than one opinion on what the name should be. And, you know, you start throwing them out there. It's difficult sometimes.
Yeah. And then the name you pick has already been used 12 times. And
well, yeah, you got every time you pick a name, you got to Google it. And of course somebody's used it. So yeah, I mean, it's all the good ones have been taken usually. Right.
Well, another name that we was on there, like we had this discussion with Adam, Sean, and my dad and I. The other name was Mills Brewing because Phillips was iconic to us at the time too. And like, we're like, ah, it's got such like a iconic thing. And like, we decided in the end, like, because our family used to have a paint manufacturing company for 75 years called Mills.
Right.
So stemming off that and doing Mills Brewing, which could have worked and it very well could have been a fine name, but we decided to just remove the name from it and go from there.
It's kind of like beer brewing.
Yeah. Well, in the same way, mills could have a double meaning like beer, where you're talking about like a malt mill, right?
Yeah. And then, I think Morrow is another brewery that's someone's last name in BC that just opened up.
Could be, yeah.
I mean, it's not uncommon. There's lots of
Russell Brewing and
lots of breweries named after, or not even breweries, businesses. But yeah, we decided to not go with that.
Yeah, I think Four Winds was a good choice.
I do too. Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting enough that you don't forget it, I think, is important. And that's like not like trying to be a marketing minded person, which I'm not, but it's like leaves you kind of like thinking about it a little bit.
It ties in well, though, too, with other like visuals and stuff. Like, I believe in your tasting room, there's like a compass sort of motif on the floor, right?
Yeah, that's our brand. Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, there's you started with the four of you, yourself, your two brothers, and your dad, too. So the four winds. Kind of cool. That's my mind was already going there. Like, that's it's good the time. Four of you, but then you drop this other knowledge bomb, which is dope as shit. So. I like it.
Yeah, no, it's funny. We look back on things and they were just like in fours. Like we did the originally start with four packs in bottles, which was did in BC and wasn't because we were Four Winds. It was just because we liked that format. We wanted to have a product that was like a little more affordable and someone could take a chance on. Like we came into the industry like every other brewery with no reputation. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to make sure that like our products seemed interesting and affordable. And that's why we went that route. And I think it helped us out a lot. We're now shifting a lot more into like six pack cans, which is just the trend in industry, but just the way it is. And I'm all for it.
Easier to drink. Easier to drink, man. I mean, that's all it is. Yeah. Big Bombers, I started off when I got into craft beer like way after you guys. I'm a newbie in this area. Like, but everything was in Bombers. And it's like, okay, it's cool, I'd have a Bomber. But now that I've acquired a taste for craft beer, it's like I just don't want a Bomber sometimes. I want two or three different cans a night where I can just go into my fridge. Oh yeah, I'll have a Four Winds, I'll have a Fraser Mills, I'll have whatever Mike Garrison gave me fucking from homebrewing.
Nice. Yeah, I agree. And like being able to have like a single serving package is important. Very important. That always was to us too. We've done Bombers because they're very beneficial to the brewery. They're very easy to do. And the market was huge for it for a long time, but that's drifting away. And I think only a few beers that actually are suitable for it, and Imperial Stouts is like one of them. I don't know why. Yeah. I don't know why. Like,
barley wines go good in a Bomber too.
Well, the bigger, I agree with that. The bigger percentages, the harder ones are. They need to be in there. Well, they age well too. If you want to cellar them,
yeah, exactly.
Age.
I don't want no tin cellars.
Yes, age, Garson.
Just drink them.
I have some Thor's hammer in my closet that are, they're a few years old.
Nice.
And they get better as they age.
Oh, of course they do.
Know about that.
Oh, my wife just I had a vertical.
Because of all the bombers I have in the back of my fridge right now. She's like, what are these all doing here? Why don't you drink them? And I had to say, like, they're staying in there because they're aging. Like, I can't leave them anywhere else in the house.
They're not going to age as nicely in the fridge, though.
I know, dude, but you know the size of my house.
Yeah, I know the story about your stuff.
Oh, yeah, upstairs. Exploding beers upstairs. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Ain't happening again. Better in the fridge than nowhere.
Yep.
So, I got a question for Brent. Yeah. This is going to be a question about expansion. Yeah. I know there was big plans. You wanted to open up another location, and there was some really good ideas, and even I think there was some artist renditions and all that kind of stuff, and it got shot down by city council and the residents in that area for some reason, which is beyond me. But can you tell me where that's at, and if it's being revisited, or if you have any other plans in the works?
I mean, you covered exactly what happened. We worked for many years, upwards of 4 years on this plan, and it wasn't just artist renderings. It was like almost full architect drawings, and we didn't get to the mechanical stage, but yeah, we spent a lot of time and money on that. Restaurant consultants, brewery consultants, all sorts of things. With the city kind of being on board the whole time. We personally weren't talking to the city, but the developers who we were working with were getting the thumbs up from the city the whole time. And we knew we had to go and get rezoning, but that always seemed like it was going to be fine. If they told us at some point that it wasn't going to be fine, we wouldn't have done that.
Right.
In the end, yeah, they came down to a vote, and they denied. Which was very heartbreaking and
tough to
deal with for a long time. But I don't know, in the end, it might have been the best thing for us with the way the beer market is right now. And especially the last couple of years, the growth kind of hit a plateau. We're still growing, but not at the rate as we expected. And I think a lot of factors are so many breweries, so many options. The vodka soda thing is playing a big
God.
I mean, it is what it is. We're never going to go down that road. We're going to keep on doing what we're doing, and we're just going to manage ourselves at this scale and keep it going. We're going to keep on growing too, but not at that rate. And it's kind of a relief because it would have been massive. We would have had to been a countrywide brewery, which has such a problematic thing to it. there's not a lot of breweries in Canada doing that, and very few doing it well.
Yeah,
more money, more problems, right?
Yeah, exactly. So it didn't happen. Didn't happen, and I'm okay with it now. At the time, I wasn't. But yeah, so just like a little bit of inside information. From there, we looked at and we started instantly trying to figure out another project. And I don't know if you guys have been to the Boundary Bay Airport, but there's a small like private airport near us, or it's not private, it's public, but very small, mostly like planes and flight school or pilot schools. But they're trying to develop it, and they're trying to eventually they're going to shut down the South Terminal at YVR, and a lot of the stuff's going to move to.
Oh, really?
Airport. That's what they've been. That's what they told us. So
interesting
property to build another brewery there, which is as the crow flies, like 5 kilometers from our current brewery, but to drive there is probably 12 kilometers. So real close. But anyways, we exercised that and looked at like the cost, and we just couldn't do it. The original plan with Southlands was a bit of a partnership with the developer, and that's how it was going to work. But the other thing would have been straight out of our pocket, and would have been indebted for ever, so we decided not to do it. But back to your original question, if there's anything happening, we would still like to do a project in the Southlands. And I don't know if you guys have had the opportunity to go down there. Like when the project was denied, there was nothing there. It was still a field. They've since like built maybe 60 homes, condos, townhouses, or not. Yeah. Condos, townhouses and homes. And, they have like a community space, and they actually got a Prado cafe there. It's super nice. But yeah, we're still talking to them about doing something, but in a smaller scale, but we haven't really figured it all out yet.
Yeah. My company is actually working on a couple of the smaller parts, like the Red Barn upgrade, some of the signs, and I forget what cool. That little produce building is called, but we did that design. The Grange. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So I've been there quite a bit.
That's cool, eh? Super nice.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
That's like my neighborhood. Where I live, I'm 5 minute bike ride from there.
Oh, geez. Nice. I guess, can I ask you about the beer, Greg?
Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
It's a really, really good beer, and I like the tribute. So.
Well, yeah. So, I'm sure you guys know, like, Greg was the founder and pretty much the sole reason Four Winds exists. Like I mentioned before, he was nagging me like all the time to open a brewery. But going back, like, as I mentioned before, my family owned a paint manufacturer and it was sold in 2003, I believe, to a company in Quebec. My dad stayed working for them for a few years. And after that, like kind of semi-retired, but he didn't really retire. He wanted to build boats. And so he did a stint at a boat building school in Gabriel, the Silva Bay Boat Building School. And it was a 6-month program learning how to build wooden boats. And he wanted to start a boat building business. And so I actually worked, and Sean Adam and I at periods worked with him building a couple boats over, I want to say 2008 to 2009. Also he was homebrewing in this boat shop too. I think eventually he realized that building boats for a living was like never going to be a viable business. So the boats never went up for sale. One of them never got finished. We still have it. But we have all the boats. Anyways, from there, after I started working at the brewery, he's like, let's do it. Let's open a brewery. Boats are not going to work. Eventually we did. And so, Greg was the GM of Mills Paint. And at one point Mills Paint had 18 stores across Western Canada. And, I don't know the figures, but maybe one of the biggest paint manufacturers in Western Canada, and, was quite a large company based, not far from where Four Winds is, like 2 kilometers away. So he had lots of business experience. And so myself having zero and, Adam, my older brother, having a little bit running his own, paint finishing business. So Greg was pretty much like the businessman and I was the brewer and Adam was the designer and marketer. And Sean was the nice friendly face coming in the door.
The beer slinger.
Yeah. The beer slinger. But yeah, man, we've gotten so far only because Greg was able to allow us to do what Adam and I did best, which was focus on, for me, beer quality, styles of beer, and not have to worry about the financial things as much as someone who should be worried about those things. But it was like a good father does, shields you from a lot of the stresses and struggles of life. He put us in an amazing situation to be able to grow this business and keep it very family orientated. And unfortunately he passed suddenly last May. And we kind of were a little bit lost, for the business, as far as the financial management goes, because he was looking after everything. I had to take it over with zero experience and just kind of be the bookkeeper for 3 months, which was very challenging, but we've made it work just kind of following his footsteps. But like very quickly we realized that like, okay, this is a tragic thing that happened to us, but, Greg would have like wanted us to keep it going and keep on moving and not like be too bent out of shape about it, because he was such like a easy, even keeled, calm person who it's just life. Like we don't go on forever and it is what it is, but we decided pretty quick to make a tribute beer for him. And it was expected to be like a one-off Father's Day beer. And like the beer he's brewing the most when we were homebrewing back in the day was like West Coast IPAs. And like the biggest inspiration to his homebrewing was, we don't see it anymore. I don't know even if they make it, but it was Green Fly.
There's a few around, but yeah, they kind of fell off when the hazy East Coast style came in.
Yeah. But specifically Green Flash West Coast IPA was the, like he wanted to model the beer after the most. So when the idea came, we didn't actually think about IPA right away. We were like, oh, what should we do? It was pretty clear after like 5 minutes of talking that would be what we did. So yeah, we brewed it, kind of in like, we call it like dad style IPA, because it's like kind of what dads drink now. And, it's not that hip anymore, but it's getting hipper again. So, and dads are getting cool again. So
you're telling me, I love that beer, and I'm a soon to be dad already. Dads.
Yeah.
Give me a bunch of Greg.
Nice. So yeah, I mean the beer is pretty simple. Like we didn't spend a huge amount of time designing it. We just like, okay, we're going to use Centennial. That's going to be the core. We want to finish it with some, I think we got some Amarillo in the dry hop to kind of give it a little more depth, but also just keep it like dry, a little bit of caramel in there to give it that like early 2000 IPA vibe, but also some flavor. And yeah, I know we were very pleased when we brewed it. It was awesome. And people love it. So we keep on brewing it.
Yeah, it's great.
It is good, man. It is very good.
Yeah, it is. And it's a nice throwback, because even when you buy a beer that's called a West Coast these days, they're usually a lot more inspired by that East Coast New England style with the much fruitier than they used to be. So,
yeah, it's kind of funny. You're making me feel really old now, because I remember when West Coast IPA was an up-and-coming style and people were competing in the IBU wars and everything. Yeah. I mean, that was the beginning of the 2000s to the mid-2000s. I mean, that was a while ago now.
Yeah. I remember that shit.
I wasn't even graduated yet, yo.
Oh, my God. So, Brent.
I was trying to make you feel old.
Yeah. Hey, Brent, have you ever heard of another beer called Greg that might come from Portland?
Oh, yeah. A little different, though.
Yeah, very different. Yeah, Hair of the Dog made a beer called Greg. I don't know if they still make it anymore, but they did back in the day, and it actually had squash in it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting stuff.
Like a 20% beer or something like that. Cause those guys
No. It was a normal, normal for them, somewhere between 6 and 9% probably.
Who knows?
Crazy.
Well, I guess we probably should grab this next one, right?
Yeah.
Last beer.
My glass is empty.
Yeah. But I just say, like, every time I was at the brewery, especially earlier on in the brewery's life, your dad was always around, always really friendly, always saying hi. So often I got to have little chats with him. So great tribute.
He was always so grateful for people he would regularly see. And I mean, I grew up with him, and he hated small talk more than anyone. Like when I was a kid and we go to the grocery store and people were like, hey, Greg, you'd be like, hey, and just walk right past him.
What did you do at the grocery store though?
But at the brewery, it was different because, I mean, he knows that these people coming here are the livelihood of the business. And he respected that so much.
Yeah, so he would always chat.
Always made a point to say hi to people. And, I mean, that's something that I learned pretty quick from him, that if people aren't coming here, we're not going to survive. And we got to be grateful for people that spend the time in their busy days to come here, spend their money.
Well, and within the craft beer scene, if somebody is passionate about your product, they're going to tell other people too, right? So extending that, you know, olive branch or whatever, you know, including them and making them feel a part of it is going to just help them spread the word for you.
It's amazing community, and there's not a lot of industries like it. I can't imagine another one.
No, I don't think there's many paint bloggers or.
You wouldn't believe this shade that I just picked up.
Yeah. Looks totally different on the second coat.
We should say, since we just cracked it, we're on number 4 of the Pilsner pack, and it's I want to pronounce it Temne.
Yeah.
Czech style dark lager.
Yes.
While we're doing it, let's just say cheers. Cheers to that.
Cheers, Greg. Yeah.
Yeah. Here, let me pour mine.
And thanks for coming on.
It's appropriate having this one last because it does say in the description the final nail in the pack.
Nice. So let's talk about Tooth and Nail. If you guys haven't tried their beers.
No.
Amazing. They're in Ottawa. I haven't been to the brewery, but I've tried the beers in Toronto. And Matt Tweedy, who's the brewer there, very, very good brewer, very passionate about lager beers. Their Pilsner, Vim and Vigor, I would put up as one of the best Pilsners in Canada. So Matt and I talked about this beer, and we wanted to make it like it's hard to get like an actual dark Czech lager in Canada. I've had a couple that are like really old and like malty sweet, and I don't think that's really good. So we wanted to make this one like in the Pilsner realm, but a touch roasty, dark in color, and very like aromatic hop wise.
It's very aromatic, man. The nose is amazing.
Yeah.
I'm loving the head on this one too. This one's just
I went to put my nose in to sniff, and I literally dipped my nose in the foam. It was such a nice head. Yeah.
The malt we used was floor malted Pilsner, floor malted Czech.
The good stuff.
From very small scale maltster in Czech Republic called Raven Malting. The only time we ever used it, and it turned out amazing. Like the malt was so good.
The color on this is awesome.
Yeah.
It's super, super clear and bright, but it's got this
dark lovely, at the same time.
Like, brownish, like deep copper kind of color to it. It's just killer.
This
tastes fantastic.
Yeah.
You get that maltiness.
It's got the maltiness. It's crisp. It's got like some nice depth.
Dark caramel notes or something.
Yeah. A little of that roasty, but not sweet though.
Not sweet. It's like the caramel notes are like more toasty, roasty.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes sense.
No, I totally agree. It's got like, Kylo always described it as like graham cracker in there. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And it finishes with a nice hop bitterness, too.
It's still clean and crisp, though, at the same time. Mm-hmm. It's weird. There's a ton going on here.
Yeah, this is nice.
I think I made my decision, boys.
You like this one? I don't know.
Yeah, I go back and forth. I'm not sure which one I prefer the most. Last year in the Pils pack, I think my favorite was the New Zealand Pils. And that was the collab with Nelson, Fernie. And
I think a few of us picked that too.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Yeah. It took me a while to choose last year. And this year I haven't made a final decision yet. This one might reign supreme.
I mean, yeah, that pack was at the start of the pandemic, so about 6 years ago.
Give or take.
Yeah.
Feels like it. Jesus.
Yeah, well, we're reduced to this. Normally we'd come out and see you, Brent, but, we Zoom now.
Yeah.
For at least a bit longer. We'll see what happens with the world.
Back to
Now, what's this one? This one? Okay, I was going to say this one tastes a little more bitter, and this one's got 35 IBUs, so I think this might be the highest IBU of the four as well.
Yeah, it's only 5%, though, so it's the third highest percent of the
box. The other one.
We have a 5.7.
The IBU. Crystal Pils was 35 IBU, too. But for some reason, this one tastes more bitter, maybe because it's because of the roasted components.
It's lighter. It's drier, too, I think. Yeah.
Okay.
It finishes dry and clean at the end.
Oh, big time. Now, probably, this would go really nice with some cheeses.
So, Brent,
Yeah.
Well, I was just going to ask and get away from this beer for a second again. But do you guys have any upcoming projects or anything you'd like to plug or any beers you think you want to let the world know about?
Yeah, a couple things. So one beer that I think Mike's tried, I don't know if you guys have tried, but it's our Imperial Stout we released about a month ago.
I actually haven't tried it yet, and I keep meaning to pick it up. I know.
I thought you would have been there the next day.
Okay. Somebody just called Mike out on not trying an Imperial Stout. You heard it here.
Yeah.
Love it.
You know that, I love it. You know that brain fog that has been happening?
I'm not even like, I mean, it's hard. Like I said, it's hard for me to be objective. And I'm not even like, I don't drink a lot of that style of beer because it just does me in. But you've never done this beer style before. And I fucking love it so much. And I'm so proud of the beer we made. And I don't know if you, Warren or Jordan, if you guys have tried it, but it's.
I haven't tried it yet.
No, I'm an IPA guy. But what's it called? Is it the Boreas?
Yeah, Boreas, yeah.
Boreas, yeah.
Okay.
Get it. Try it.
Do you still have it in the tasting room?
To now.
Yeah, we still got some, yeah.
But oh,
yeah,
God, I just missed it.
Is that in Bombers or how's it packaged? Bombers,
yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I'll watch for it.
It's like 9.5%. So it's kind of neutral wine barrels. So we've used the wine barrels for lager aging to the point where there's no more not a lot of character coming off it. So we aged a batch of neutral wine barrels, and then the other half, or it's actually 2/3 in Buffalo Trace whiskey barrels.
Ooh, I love Buffalo Trace.
That sounds pretty interesting.
You had me at Buffalo Trace.
So you guys should get it, try it, and let me know what you think. I honestly, like I said, I don't drink the style that much, but it blows my mind every time I drink it. And floored with how good it is.
Nice.
Strong dark beers with whiskey. I mean, you can't go wrong.
No, really can't, man. It's funny that we just did daylight saving time and we're getting more sun, but I'm still like feel like drinking dark beers. I've just gone in this stage.
Dude,
I'm turning the mic. What do you want?
It was so cold yesterday and today. It still feels like winter, for God's sakes.
Unless you stand in the sun with like a winter dark jacket on.
It was warm today. What are you talking about?
Well, maybe if you were in the sun. I'm in the shade here most of the day. And every time I stepped out on the deck, it was still pretty frigid.
And I mean,
yesterday was worse. Yesterday was really cold.
It's definitely still the Imperial Stout season anyways.
Oh, yeah. Well, I that's agree. Around for yeah. you.
Mine should be ready on Sunday, so.
All right. Yeah, so, I mean, no other, like, projects that I can think of. I talked a little bit about, we did a collab with Powell Street. I shouldn't call it Powell Street. It's Powell Brewing now. Yeah. Earlier today, which would be probably ready in about a month. Which
can you talk about it? Tell us what it is.
We brewed on the theme of the Crystal Pils. We did 100% wheat beer again.
Ooh, okay.
I'm using the Quebec yeast.
Ooh,
love it.
And using some South African hops, which I've never used, and Dave doesn't have much experience with either.
Very cool.
Yeah, so it's going to be like a low grad. I think it'll be around like 5, yeah, maybe sub 5%, right around 5%. Not a lot of bitterness, just whirlpool hops. Possibly dry hop. We're going to decide how it's tasting, but like just kind of like a simple summer sipper.
Perfect.
Nice.
Just in time for the warm weather.
Yeah, exactly. And then the other thing that on the like mix pack theme, something that we tried to get out last year, but it didn't happen because COVID demand kicked our ass in the packaging.
Those assholes.
Yeah. all of our like notice beers. So Velo, Featherweight, Elementary Lager, and La Maison, we're going to release in an 8-pack mix pack as well.
Oh, nice.
Oh, that's dope.
Be coming up next Friday, I believe, we'll have it out. So, yeah, we're excited about that. Those are the beers I drink the most because they're all under 5% and easy drinking. And you can drink the 8-pack and still walk
Somewhere. Walk somewhere. Maybe to your bed, maybe up the stairs, maybe just in the bathroom.
Multiple times.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think that's it for projects, though. Like, we're trying to, like, manage our summers a little better and just focus on our core beers and make sure that we don't run out of those things. So, doing big projects in the summer, we're not going to do that anymore. It's too intense.
Makes sense, right now, too, you don't really want to do that stuff because we don't know what's happening still with COVID and shit, right? It's like you could reopen soon, could go back into lockdown. So you just don't want to do too many kegs. Rather work on packaging, I would think, your stance.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Luckily, what we did last year in the summer was pretty awesome with really low COVID numbers. So hopefully we can get back to that as the weather gets better and more people are outside. And hopefully we can keep things everything open.
Sunshine, buddy, kills the COVID.
It does.
I read a meme.
Also, there's just a vaccine I hear.
Those are facts. Hashtag blessed.
Nice.
Oh man. At least the vaccine rollout's starting to happen too, so we can hopefully get back to a little more of a normal life in the upcoming months, which should help businesses 100%. In general.
Yeah, it feels like it's getting calmer, and I don't know. The numbers seem to be about the same, so I don't know.
But the deaths have been 000 for the past little bit, which is what we want to see. I understand there's going to be new cases, but as long as people aren't dying and stuff, hopefully it'll get more relaxed. I know we just got Dr. Bonnie said we can hang outside in groups of 10 now.
Yeah, social distance.
Within your bubble, social distance. Yeah, so that means podcasts in the drinking parks again.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
Or patios at breweries.
Here we come, Poco.
Now Vancouver's got some parks available now, apparently.
Yeah, and the city of Vancouver is going to be putting in beer at some of the concessions, too, it sounds like. So that's kind of cool.
They're telling concessions to get your licensing, so you have to go to the city to get pay them.
Yeah.
So they get their cut on it. But then they can only sell cider, beer, and coolers.
I should buy one of those, like, bicycles that for the popsicles and stuff, and then load it with beer and cider.
Probably can't get licensed for that, but still.
People would shine your head.
All right. Well, Jordan, why don't you go into your question here then?
All right. Here we go. So, Brent, I'm gonna ask you off the bat. What's your favorite beer out of the four we've tried tonight? Pick your favorite child, in other words, as Temni would say if you joined us.
I might have to pick Temni, but very close second would be the Horizon or Ryzen. But I don't know, man. I'm super stoked on all of them.
I can agree on that.
Yeah. I can't choose, man.
You have to. You gotta pick one, man.
He doesn't have to.
You already said it was the first one you said. Yeah.
That's what I say. Always go with your gut, your first response.
Right? All right, Warren, go with your gut. What's your first response?
Yeah, for me, it's got to be this Horizon or Horizon, however you want to say it. The collab with Burdock, even though it's only 3.5% and it's got some rice in it, the aroma was more appealing to me, and it had some really good flavor for a beer that's that low in ABV and rather light in body. And I could knock those back all day long on a hot day.
Fair enough. Mike?
I'm actually literally going back and forth right now, tasting the the Temni and the Vice, trying to decide which one of the two it is.
Yeah, I could see you being torn there.
I think I'm actually going to go with the Vice.
Nice.
Yeah,
that's what mine.
I figured that would be yours.
Warren called it.
Warren, you got it, bud. So for me, I'm agreeing with Brent. I love how do you pronounce it? The Temni? Just for me, it had all the flavors that I love. even though it's not the highest percent like I normally love, like myself. But also, the Vice was solid too. They're both like the whole pack is good. Yeah, I know. That's the hardest part about doing this part is picking your favorite. But for me, it's the one we're sipping on right now, coming 5%, which is a decent. It's dark. It's malty. I don't know. Perfect, in my opinion.
And it's sexy looking too. It's got. It's just beautiful.
Just like me. So what's up?
I guess to close it out then, what's the address of the brewery there?
Address?
Yeah.
The physical address?
Physical address, yeah.
People want to visit the tasting room.
Right, it's Unit 4, 7355 72nd Street in Delta.
And then social media?
Is that River Road?
It's just off of River Road, yeah. We don't have a River Road address, but yeah. Okay. Social media, I don't even, I got to look, man. It's
social media's Four Winds Brew Co.
Brew Co, yeah.
Yeah.
And for the old timers like me, it's in the neighborhood where the old Shaftesbury used to be.
Yeah, not far.
Tilbury, yeah.
Not far. It's just south of the town.
All right. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Brent. This has been awesome. Yeah.
That's been great. Thank you so much, Brent.
Nice to see you guys.
Been meaning to get you on for years.
Yeah. What was that?
Been meaning to get you on for years and just, yeah.
All it took was a young ginger.
Yeah.
Anytime. We'll have to do it again next time. Let's schedule this for again next year with the version 3 pills pack.
Yeah.
Or whenever you want to.
Man. Yeah.
It was great having you on. Appreciate you joining us.
Thank you, guys. Like, we don't get a lot of time to socialize these days, and this goes a long way. So it's nice to share some beers with you guys and have some conversations.
All right.
Well, I can't wait to do it in person when all this bullshit's done.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, next time we get together, hopefully it'll be in person. Yeah.
Maybe on the patio.
Oh yeah.
If it's still there.
Yeah.
Or I'm good for a brew tour in the back. We just chill back there.
Right.
It's pretty fucking loud back there, though, so I don't know if you can record.
Yeah.
Hey, Cam, edit it out.
Yeah.
We can sit near the barrels. It's got to be quiet near there, right?
Oh, Parkside was loud.
Yeah, it was.
We did good there. They had trains running behind us.
That's right. We modeled the sound, and it did okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much, and have a good rest of your night.
You guys, too. Take care.
Cheers.
Shout
out to our Patreon members. You can go to patreon.com/PacificBeerChat. You can support us. The money goes towards upgrading our equipment and making the show better. So shout out to Indie Beer Show out of San Diego and Steve.
Thanks for tuning in to Pacific Beer Chat. We can be found on all podcast apps as well as at PacificBeerChat.com. If you find a podcast app we are missing on, let us know and we'll endeavor to fix that. Leave us a review on iTunes as it helps expose more people to the show. You can email us at feedback@PacificBeerChat.com. We can be found on all major social media apps at Pacific Beer Chat. Logo design was by Tim, the craft beer tourist. Audio editing done by Cam, known as Cam on Tap on Twitter. To play us out, here is a clip of the song Lothian by the band Conundrum, performed by Kevin Ems. Find them at conundrum-music.bandcamp.com. The song that plays us out is part of our intro.